We're going to be talking about Jesus and being born in the Holy Land. So let me preface my message today with a story that I heard this week. And it was about this family. A husband took his family to the Holy Land. And, you know, that's an awesome thing to be able to do that, take a trip over there to see where Jesus was born. And so he took his whole family and he took his mother-in-law with him over there. And so after they got over there, sadly, the mother-in-law passed away over there while they were there viewing and touring the Holy Land. And the officials asked the husband, and the wife said, well, you know, it's gonna cost about $5,000 to have her taken home, flown back to her home. And so the official said, you know, you might consider having her be buried here. It only cost you $120. So the husband thought about it. He said, no. He says, I think we'll go ahead and pay the $5,000 and have her brought home. And the officials, he looked at him and just said, you know, he says, but why would you spend $5,000 when for $120, how awesome is that to be buried in the Holy Land? And the husband thought about it a little bit. He says, well, you know, between you and I, he said, I read this story where this person died and was buried in the Holy Land, but 3 days later, he come back alive. He says, I can't take that chance. He says, I just can't take that chance. So. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. I did hear that from another preacher, so that's all right. Okay. All right, so that's a preface to my message today. How's that? Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. This was read last week. Emily did such an awesome job narrating our program. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Why don't you follow along here? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public spectacle, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, that was prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be born with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And again, back in verse 21 is where I want to land. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The title of my message today, I'll be talking about Jesus as the Savior. Well, what will your house or your apartment look like in a matter of a few hours? If it's like a lot of places, it will be filled with family, be filled with friends, with love and laughter and joy. And it may be filled with the noise of presents being opened and people being surprised and gratitude being expressed. And it may even include some cups of coffee, and that's wonderful always, or hot chocolate, or a plate of cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. That's an awesome time. Or even hot biscuits, if Brother Gary can talk Sister Linda into doing that. And Sister Linda, biscuits do come in a bag now, if you're not aware of that, and you just take them out of that bag and slip them in the oven. Sometimes during the receiving of presents and the opening of them is usually this specific moment or moments. And it happens when the biggest or the best present is opened by someone, especially a child. And that's pretty exciting when you're seeing them throw in the paper, you know, they're going through it. There's this anticipation then of watching that person or that couple or even again that little one opening their gift. And will it be received with joy? Will it be received with appreciation? Will it make the impact that was hoped for so that you hear those oohs and ahs, you know? And so this morning, I want us to look for just a little while at the center of Christmas and the biggest gift of all, that being the gift of Jesus as the Messiah, the gift of the Savior of Christmas. And for all of then the trappings that go along with Christmas, including the lights and the tree and the presents and the gatherings and the food, and all of those are wonderful, we dare not miss the truest meaning of Christmas. And Sister North has touched on that last week and this week. And for at the very heart of Christmas, then, we find Jesus. We find a little boy who has been born of a virgin named Mary. A little boy who is much more than a little boy. Jesus was not some human that one day had a vision about his identity or that decided one day that he would just declare himself as the Son of God. From the very moment of his conception, Jesus has been and will forever be Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John describes Jesus this way. Here's what he wrote. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shone in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then we find where the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For by Him," speaking of Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." Paul wrote that in Colossians. Let's take a few moments then this morning and let's just reflect on this man, Jesus, the truest center of Christmas, the one whom John calls the Word, the Life, and the Light, the one we know today as Savior and Lord and Friend. We cannot gloss over that reality. We must not allow then the modernization of the story of Jesus to cause us to miss this essential truth. Sadly, there are those who in trying to make Jesus be such a part of our world that they reduce Him then to just another prophet or a revolutionary or a great humanitarian teacher, they say. They end up saying that Jesus was merely another amazing human being who lived and died on our planet. However, Jesus was much more. Yes, Jesus was a great teacher. And yes, Jesus was a revolutionary. And yes, he was a great humanitarian. But he was so much more. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. And Jesus was sinless. Jesus was and is the only human being who never did anything wrong in his life or disobeyed his Father. Jesus was and is forever holy and pure. Jesus' sinlessness is the reason that he was able then to take our place on the cross. It's the reason why Jesus could pay the penalty for humanity's sin and then break the power of sin. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, God made Jesus who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. You know, it doesn't take long in reading Jesus' story to see his power. Matthew chapter 28 reminds us that Jesus had both power in heaven and on earth. Jesus himself said these words over in Matthew, over in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Listen to those words again. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not some authority, not just in heaven, not just on earth, but the whole statement, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now let's take a pause and let's think about the things that Jesus did while he lived here on this earth for 33 and a half years. All the different things that demonstrated his power and might that we read about in the Bible. And of course, we know that John wrote at the end of his epistle that there were many things that Jesus did that if they were written down, he supposed the world could not contain the books that should be written. So there's a lot he did. Jesus amazed the teachers at the temple with his intelligence and with his ability to understand the scriptures at the early age of 12. Can you imagine? In Jesus' then his confrontation with Satan in the wilderness, Jesus not only defeated Satan one time, but three different times. Following the third time, the third battle, Jesus simply tells Satan, you be gone. And Satan had to leave. Jesus is walking on the water and calming the Sea of Galilee, healing the lepers, restoring sight to the blind, enabling the deaf to hear again, and healing all kinds of diseases and ailments, casting out demons from the man in the tombs, from Mary Magdalene, and the man in the synagogue. And there was the raising then of the widow of Nain's son from the dead, and bringing Lazarus back to life after he had been dead for 4 days. We see then in these stories of the paralyzed man and the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears, the authority and the power that Jesus had in forgiving their sin. There's no way then to read about Jesus' life and not be amazed at both the number and the scope of the miracles that he accomplished. Miracles that were done that were not done as a party trick, or miracles that were not done in ways to promote himself or his own ministry. Jesus' miracles were done to bring people, to bring freedom to God's people, and then give his heavenly Father glory and honor. And yes, He has made the same. He has made that same authority and that same power available to us to be able to work through us by His Spirit to do the same in today's world. Jesus' life was not a tragic life that ended in the worst of defeats on the cross of Calvary. No, Calvary was not a defeat. It was part of an overall spiritual plan by God that ended in victory. A plan that did include Jesus' miraculous conception and His birth, Jesus' extraordinary teaching and His miracles, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, Jesus' dead body being placed in a borrowed tomb, Jesus rising from the dead, Jesus ascending back into heaven, and the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The cross event was not an incident that suddenly went wrong. It was not a sad ending to a tragic set of circumstances. The reality of the matter is, all the way back in Genesis 1, we read hints about the birth of Jesus and His messiahship and Calvary and His resurrection. Throughout the Scriptures, there are passages about the one who would come and bring salvation. We see this spelled out in great detail in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53 and chapter 61. All of those passages deal with the coming of the Messiah, a Messiah that would share the good news of salvation, that would heal the brokenhearted, that would give His life for the people of God. I'm talking about Jesus the Savior, a Messiah then that would be rejected, spit on, and would suffer death on the cross. A Messiah then that would rise again and one day judge the earth with His righteousness. It is true that Jesus died on a cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb. It is also true that on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. And so we must fully understand that what happened on Friday did not end the life and the mission of Jesus Christ, but it fulfilled what the Father wanted to happen. God wanted the curse of sin to be paid for and removed from all of mankind. This was His plan. He wanted the power and the penalty then of sin to be removed. He wanted a way for humankind to have that full fellowship once again restored with their Creator, as Adam and Eve had in the garden before their fall. This is what Christmas is about. It's about the Savior, a Savior who came as a gift into our world as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. A Savior that is sinless, a Savior that is almighty, a Savior that is powerful, a Savior that is victorious, a Savior that is now making intercession for all of us this morning. That little boy in the manger is no normal little boy. Just ask his mother, the Virgin Mary. And just ask his adopted father, Joseph. Just ask the disciples who followed Him and lived with Him and saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And just ask the ones He appeared to on Resurrection Sunday. And just ask anyone now today who has asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, who have accepted the full measure of His grace, His mercy, and His love, and who has invited and accepted His Holy Spirit into their lives. Ask folks like Michelle and Destiny and Charlie. This is why we gather on Christmas Eve morning. We gather to celebrate the coming of our King Jesus. I saw this making the rounds on social media this week, and there's a lot of stuff that we disregard, but I thought this was so powerful, so I wrote it down. Concerning Jesus, in Bethlehem, He was God with us. At Calvary, He was God for us. And at Pentecost, He became God in us. One other aspect then I want to cover this morning is concerning the shepherds, who Luke wrote about, recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And last Sunday, we had the three most awesome little shepherds in our Christmas program. Now, weren't they awesome? They were abiding in the field, keeping watch over the sheep, and an angel appeared to them and told them about a Savior. A Savior being born that day, who was Christ the Lord. And in verse 15, we read where Luke tells us that the angels returned to heaven. Now, what it doesn't say is how long those angels stayed out there with those shepherds. I don't think it was a very brief encounter. Usually when angels came to earth or spoke to people, it was never a brief visit. With Abraham and Sarah, they shared a meal together. With the children of Israel, the angels led them all the way from Egypt to the wilderness and beyond. And I happen to believe that they possibly spent a good time, a deal of time, worshiping and praising God with the shepherds. They may have spent some time talking to the shepherds and further answering some questions that they may have had. I know I would have had some questions, and it would have been fascinating to hear them as they praised God. Now, I would have enjoyed hearing their voices, and I would have tried my best to join in. The shepherds also did not stay quiet after they saw Jesus. After they spent some time with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they went back to the fields watching their sheep. But over the next days and weeks and months and years of their lives, I believe they told and retold their encounter with the angels and with the Holy Family. Wouldn't you do that? I know I would. And I'm sure that they shared this story with their family and with their friends. And I'm almost sure that they shared it with many others at many other times as well. After all, how many have experienced such a story as that? This morning, if you hear then what the world is saying to the church, it is, of course, it's saying a lot of things. And one of those things, guess what, is to keep quiet. Don't share your faith. Don't talk about Jesus. Oh, especially Jesus being the Son of God. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about Him being the Savior of the world. Don't talk about either heaven or hell, and especially don't talk about hell. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about being born again. Amen. Amen. But I got something to tell you. We in the church, we who are the church, are never, never to keep quiet when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to talking about salvation or about eternal life or the power of the cross or the power of the blood. We are called to stand beside the shepherds and join our voices with theirs and tell others about Jesus. We are to share our story, Brandon, and the encounters that we ourselves have had with God. We all have a story to tell. We are to share with our family. We are to share with our friends and others. Ask the Lord when you get up in the morning, Lord, you see, I'm going about my day. Would you put somebody in my path where I can share your love? And what you've done for me, I'm going to share it with them. And I promise you, if you'll ask and you're sincere and you'll believe it, God will do such a thing for you. We're to share how God forgave us and redeemed us and saved us, and how His Spirit is now living in us and through us with others. These shepherds, they knew how to listen and be receptive. They knew how to obey, Brandon. They knew how to speak out then and share the good news. And we too are to be good listeners, to be receptive of what God is saying and be receptive of His call and His leading us. We are then to simply obey. Would you look at somebody and say, just simply obey. How hard is that? But sadly, guess what? It is hard for so many. We're called to share the good news. We're called to share the good news that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is the Savior of this world. I'm sorry, but there is no president who will be the Savior of this world. Again, that is why we gather this Christmas Eve morning. We gather to celebrate the coming of our Savior and Lord, King Jesus. And guess what? He's coming again. And I want to be ready. And Jesus comes then this morning to invite us to partake in His presence. And we can partake of His presence in the form of bread and drink through Communion, and I want to talk about that for a moment. And if Brother Galen, if he's here, if he could come up, I don't see him. If not, we can put some music on. We can partake of His presence in the form of bread and drink through communion. Understand with me something this morning, that His presence brings healing and grace and peace and joy and mercy and freedom. This morning, as we close, I want us to receive from our Savior His Holy Communion. And this Christmas Eve morning, we're going to remember what He experienced at Calvary for us. Communion in itself means to give thanks. So in communion, we give thanks for what Jesus has done. The bread we eat and the juice we drink symbolizes Jesus' body and blood given to us. Understand with me this morning that when we take communion together, it's not merely about what we do. But when we eat the bread and drink the juice, something is being done to us and in us as well by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus is spiritually present through the bread and the drink and every time we partake. And we are receiving then anew in faith Jesus Himself and the promises that He made to us. Well, just what are some of those promises? A promise to forgive us of our sins, to always be present with us, to never leave us or forsake us, to strengthen us. How about to grow us and to help us even persevere in following Him on a daily basis. And guess what? Much of our growth and our maturity comes through our test. and through our life experiences. And guess what? How we deal with those experiences. Did you know that'll tell how mature you really are in the Spirit? And I don't know about you, but I need Him every day. I need Him. And it's not about how often we do this, but the important thing is what's happening in our hearts and minds at the moment we do partake. Are we remembering that Jesus' death was necessary because of sin, especially our sin? It's our opportunity for us to search our hearts, confess our sin, and ask God to forgive us. And guess what? He will. And today, in just a few moments, as we partake in communion together, we commit ourselves then to God, and yes, we are committing to each other as members of one body to lift each other up and to pray for one another. That's what we do as one body. Can you say amen? So let's do this together. Let's all stand. And would you gather down front? I've asked Brother North and Brother Wallace just to come, and they will hold this together. And if you're watching online, why don't you prepare to receive communion right where you're at with us? Get you some juice and some crackers or some bread, and let the presence of God overtake you today. Come on down. Let's all just gather down. Come on down to the front. Why don't you go ahead and come and get you a cup and a cracker and just move to the side, but stay up close and hold it. We're going to receive it together. We're going to receive it together. Those watching online, get yours together. I'm telling you, the Lord is going to do something. He's already begun to do something already today. We're going to remember what He did for us. Amen. Let the children, if they can do it, let them do it. There we go. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to receive it together here in just a moment. I've got a scripture to read. We're going to read it. We're going to read it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a way to end Christmas Eve morning together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Wallace, I'll take one there behind you. Thank you, Brother Nora. Yes, thank you very much. Got it. Okay, everybody got it? Let me read to you what Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Let's partake of the bread right now. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He come. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Oh, we praise you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your mercies that are new and fresh every morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that you've bestowed upon us to carry out your will and your purpose in our lives. We can do nothing without you, and we are nothing without you, but with you all things are possible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blood, the power of your name. Thank you for all of those weapons that you have given us. And so this morning we praise you. Lord, I thank you for this body of people that you've gathered together here in this place. New Life Family, we thank you for them. Lord, we ask God to, Lord, that you would just continue to be with us. Lead us and guide us as we go into the next year. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen and amen. Receive what He's got for you today. Receive that healing today. Can you believe His word today? His word is true. His word is forever settled in heaven. I've got a declaration. We've said it at times before, but I'd like for us to say it again today as we end. Would you say this after me? This new year will be a supernatural year for me. As the Lord leads me and guides me by His Spirit, who dwells on the inside of me. I will not have one day wasted, but I shall be led by His Spirit. And as the Lord leads me, when I get to that place, it shall open up to me. This shall be a year of increase, of great blessing, of great harvest, a multiplication, and it shall be supernatural. Between now and the end of 2024, I shall see the hand of the Lord. Can you say amen? All right. God bless you. It's hard to clap with a cup in your hand. All right. God is so good, y'all. God is so good. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have a wonderful time with your families this afternoon and tomorrow. And we'll see some of you Thursday night as we do our food bank. But if not, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. I love you.